I'm Adam Evans with the NIRS News. Mob in Tasmania have set up camp on the front lawns of Parliament House, demanding action on the state's stalled treaty process. About 20 tents were set up yesterday and more people are expected to join today.
So that was nearly 3 years ago. Absolutely nothing's been done. We've had a number of meetings with the Premier, a number of meetings with other government officials, and we've raised it with them and we just get fobbed off. So the Aboriginal community decided to set up tents outside the Parliament, which sat yesterday, as a way of reminding the government of the promise that they've made, and we won't move from there until the Premier comes out and commits or recommits to legislating a treaty process.
That's Palawa Man and Aboriginal Land Council of Tasmania Chairperson Michael Mansell speaking to NIRS News. In 2021, then-Premier Peter Gutwin promised to undertake a truth-telling and treaty process. Mr. Gutwin then enlisted former Governor of Tasmania Kate Warner to review the next step. Ms. Warner's report was released in November that year, which recommended that the government legislate a treaty process. A new report shows an average of 100 million native animals, including 1,200 koalas, are displaced, injured or killed every year as a result of land clearing in Queensland and New South Wales. Government data from 2016 to 2021 was analysed for the report, commissioned by advocacy groups Greenpeace and RSPCA Queensland. The report suggests that most of the estimated 100 million animals affected are reptiles. The report suggests deforestation was the result of beef production, although the cattle industry has denied the scale of the problem. Former Labor Senator Fatima Payman has backed moves by the party's New South Wales branch to call on the federal ALP to recognise Palestinian statehood as a priority. Asad Khan reports there's been growing discontent among Western Sydney electorates of the Albanese government's response to the Gaza war.
Independent Senator Fatima Payman, who parted ways with the Labour Party due to its handling of the Gaza war, says this is not the first time a state national conference under the Labour Party banner has put up a motion like this.
Both in 2021 and 2023, the National Labour Party platform, where calls for government to recognise Palestine as a state, has been called on, so this isn't the first time.
Ms. Payman also said she had a different view of the Labour Party when she joined.
I thought the Labour Party as a party of principle and being a champion on the universal values of justice, peace, freedom and equality, that we would be doing a lot more to sanction Israel, to call out the genocide and to maintain the peace and social cohesion.
A coronial inquest has heard a police officer who survived a deadly ambush in rural Queensland had no alternative but to run, as his handgun was outmatched by men with high-powered rifles. National Radio News' Remy Norton reports.
Constable Randall Kirk was wounded after he and three other junior officers entered a property at Weambilla, northwest of Brisbane, as part of a missing person inquiry in December 2022. Constable Matthew Arnold and Rachel McCrow were shot dead in cold blood by brothers Nathaniel and Gareth Train as the two officers walked along a winding dirt driveway. Constable Kirk today gave evidence at the second day of a five-week coronial inquest in Brisbane. He told counsel assisting Ruth O'Gorman he did not see either of the Trains before Constable Arnold was shot in the chest without warning.
We'll have more coming up next.
Have you heard about the Territory Stolen Generations Redress Scheme?
It's for Stolen Generations survivors who were removed from their families or communities in the Northern Territory, ACT or Jervis Bay.
It's a financial and wellbeing package for acknowledgement and to help with healing.
The scheme's open for applications now.
To find out more about the Territory's Redress Scheme, call 1800 566 111
or visit territoriesredress.gov.au.
Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra.
Program sponsor.
If you're a skateboarder and a fan of Britney Spears, this one's for you. The Baby One More Time singer has teamed up with Welcome Skateboards to produce custom decks featuring images from throughout her career, including album covers. The new range also includes hoodies, shirts and other merchandise. The collaboration aims to highlight Britney's contribution to pop culture. To stay up to date with the NIRS news, follow us on Instagram, like us on Facebook or visit our website at nirs.org.au. And if you've missed a bulletin, you can catch up on the Community Radio Plus app.
Screening for bowel cancer is simple, private and free.
Your free kit is available every 2 years from the age of 45 to 74. If found early, 90% of bowel cancers can be successfully treated. Doing your screening test every 2 years can help you to stay strong and healthy for yourself, your family, and your community. For more information, have a yarn with your health professional or visit indigenousbowelscreen.com.au.
Station sponsor.
Queensland's big build is all go. We're getting to work right across the state, which might mean some disruptions as we roll out a 10-year plan to build more hospitals and upgraded schools, more housing, better transport, and more renewable energy. With Queensland growing, now's the time to future-proof the lifestyle we all love. To find out more about big build projects on the go near you, search Queensland Big Build.
Authorised by the Queensland Government, Brisbane. Station sponsor.
Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, as BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong, you mob? All right, QPAC's Clans History to light up South Bank this July, August. Look, fantastic. Another opportunity for our mob to perform and share our culture. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Bradley Chatfield, QPAC's Head of First Nations Programming. We have Bradley online. Bradley, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, brother, let the mob know who your mob were you from.
My mob are Kim Milroy from Coonabarabra in northwest New South Wales.
All right, fantastic. So you're Head of First Nations Programming with QPAC, yes?
Yeah, that's correct.
And how long have you been in that role, my friend?
I've been in the role for just under 2 years. In 2 weeks, it'll be 2 years.
All right, fantastic. Enjoying that journey, Bradley?
Yeah, it's absolutely a great process and a great organisation to be part of to bring First Nations works and stories to the stage.
Good. Now, QFAC have announced the final program for 2024 Clans History, a celebration of First Nation arts and culture. Kicking off today, congratulations. So tell us about who can we see and the program as such, please, Bradley.
Well, tonight we kick off with a great show called Warriors in the Concert Hall, which is our big theatre here at QFAC. Yeah. We've got artists Andrew Giriwiwi Band, Jay Miller, Jungaji and Radical Sun all coming to perform for one night only. Yeah. We've had them here for a couple of days doing some video editing of their stories, and this program focuses on men's mental health and how that's helped them shape their careers and how it's inspired them to give back to the community and write their music.
Yeah, fantastic. And when you look at opportunities like so for our mob, it creates a platform, not only entertainment, but it's still it's also an education platform, a tool, you know, promoting our culture and also educating people of the world, yes?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I think that's one reason why we chose all these artists as well, because, you know, they've faced some adversity in their lives and their careers, and it's really great to show, you know, you can move through things and, you know, there's resources out there to help you get through.
Fantastic. Also mentioned in here, Bengara Dance Theatre as well.
Yeah, Bengara Dance Theatre open next week. We've got community night on Wednesday the 7th. Of August, and then we open on Thursday the 8th, and they're here for 2 weeks, and it's always great to have them back. This year their umbrella is under Clans History, which is really, really fantastic, with works by Deborah Brown, a New Zealand choreographer, Moss, and another Queensland choreographer, Sunny Townsend.
Fantastic. And this opportunity, has the horsery bolted for performances or what have you to come to the table?
No. There's still tickets left if you go to qpac.com.au. There's all the opportunities for any of these shows to be purchased still. And obviously, we've still got a lot of free events attached to Clans History also.
Oh, fantastic. And what about a local artist as such? Was there opportunity for them to come to the table?
Yeah, so we sort of source local artists, and it's always really busy around July because we've just had NAIDOC and you guys just had Kaya on up there as well. But we have some artists performing on our mob music stage outside, and we're always looking for new artists to engage in, you know, for our following Clancestries for the next couple of years. So if they're out there, they know how to get in touch with us, and they do, which is fantastic.
Fantastic, brother. And let's talk about employment, First Nation people at the table. How many would QPAC be employed for this fantastic opportunity?
I have a team of four, which is myself, head of First Nations programming. Mm. I have a producer, Hannah Scanlon, and two associate producers, Natalie Smith and Aidan Rawlinson. And, you know, we work all year round to get Clancestry up and running, as well as doing our in-theatre shows as well. We also have help from curatorial, and we've got a director of First Nations strategy here, Kurt, as well. So we've got a small team, but a robust and energetic team to get something like a festival up and running.
And then we talk about the title. I mean, I'm loving that, Clancestry. It's one word, but a powerful word in regarding to our mob and our connection and, you know, joining the dots, so to speak, yes?
Yeah. So Clancestry first started back in 2013. And it was put together by you know, some of the First Nations producers here, and it's taken off. Last year we celebrated 10 years since the first one, and you know, we just go from strength to strength, and hopefully just keep building the program up so we can get more acts, more artists, and a bigger festival going each year.
And it's great to see the city, as in Brisbane Council, behind it as well. I mean, like, it creates a beautiful platform, but it also creates movement in the economy for Brisbane, yes?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, we've got so many things on here at the moment. You know, we've got the Olympics outside, and hopefully a bit of that foot traffic from the Olympic thing out on South Bank will move them into the mob music stage that we've got going on Thursday, Friday and Saturday night.
More like sprint over this way, please.
Yes, yeah, no, don't worry. We've got signs out there saying come this way.
Good, fantastic. Bradley, thank you. Look, all the best. Congratulations to you and your team. Good luck with it all. And Clancestry to light up South Bank. Look, fantastic. People going to Brisbane, watch a Broncos game. Hey, check it out. All the best to you.
Come and see us. We'd really look forward to welcoming you into QPAC.
Thanks, Bradley. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Deadly yarn, beautiful yarn. Bradley Chatfield, his name is, QPAC, head of First Nations Programming, and QPAC, of course, Queensland Performing Arts Centre, and they've announced their final program for 2024's Clancestry, a celebration of First Nation arts and culture, and that kicks off today, and it goes for a good week and a bit, so fantastic. Do check it out, your mob, and go to the webpage for QPAC, Queensland Performing Arts Centre, and you'll see all the details there. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying yarn up strong. We're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Yarn up strong, you mob, National Talk Black, too deadly.
Everything. We carry We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416, 98.7 FM, BBM.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumblebrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, next segment, we've got the Which Way Yarning, and that's proudly sponsored by Pekoni, Brinsmead and IGA, IGA, Brinsmead and Edmonton. And they give us a box of fruit here at Bumblebrip Media, healthy living, healthy lifestyle, the message we deliver. And we're going to catch up a yarn there with the boys in blue. We've got Senior Sergeant Glenn Deloy and PLO, Police Liaison Officer Stephen Grant. Very good morning, my brothers. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Trevor. How are
Trevor, you? Good morning.
I'm well. Thank you very much. And start with you, Steve. Who are you mob? Where are you from?
Yeah, Trev, proud Rainforest Murray here in far north Queensland, the Tully Mission Beach Ravensow area. So,
Cassowary country.
That's it, the Gundawi country, you know, the wettest town in Australia.
And besides your senior sergeant, Glenn Deloy, hillbilly boy, Atherton, eh? You're based?
Yep, red dirt okay. Underfoot.
Red dirt underfoot and mango tree above you. So, of course, senior sergeant Glenn Deloy at Edmonton, please. So, gentlemen, look, National Missing Person Week That's the week we are sitting in at the moment. Look, very important that we have this conversation. People go missing and unforeseen circumstances, don't know when or why, and are sad that we don't find them again. So just shed some light on the space, starting with you, Senior Sergeant Glenn DeLay.
Yeah, look, National Missing Persons Week. So this week aims to raise awareness about the significant number of young Australians reported missing. So in 2023, so last year, 56,000 missing person reports were made to police in Australia. So that's a...
Whoa, 56,000.
That's a lot of people.
Last year, 23. That's 1 year, 12 months.
Yep.
56,000 people.
So what they're saying is that's over 150 missing events or missing persons a day. And the good thing is that over 99% of these people that were reported missing were located safe and well.
Okay. How many, sorry, were located?
Like 99%.
99%. Yeah. Okay, sure. Thank you.
So there's only a very slight risk of these people not being located and returned to their family.
Sure. So here we are shedding light on National Missing Person Week, 28th of July, 3rd of August. There's a theme for that, is that right?
Yep, yep. So the theme for this year is always searching.
Always searching.
Yep.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
So we don't give up on them, and until we locate them, they'll always be missing. And that's always front of mind for us. So a missing person is just for the definition of a missing person, someone who's reported missing whose whereabouts are unknown.
Yep.
And there are fears for the safety or concern of that person. So these aren't just people who have absconded or went out for the night and they didn't come home because they've been stayed at a friend's house. The missing persons actually have to fulfill that definition before we actually...
And what's the definition? What's the length? What's the duration of a missing person to start searching or to acknowledge they're a missing person?
Yeah, so that's where we say there's fears for their safety or concerns for the welfare. So I would say that they're... them not returning to where we thought they were going to be was way out of their character.
Okay.
Look, we've got some people that, they might go walk about all the time. They might go and visit a relative and then, decide to go and visit another relative, and that might be their normal behaviours.
Sure.
Look, they can still be reported missing, but we probably won't have a lot of concerns for that person because that's normal. But
then we're talking of a person who's 18 years or older. And an adult can do whatever they like.
Correct.
Free will. If they don't want to be contacted, that's entirely up to them.
Exactly.
So and you've got to take them on board.
And there is a percentage of people who are reported missing that don't want to be located.
Sure.
And we've got to respect that. So.
So if you're the police, find them, whatever, said, look, I don't want to be, I'm fine, I'm all good, I don't want to be located. So to let the family know, you spoke to me and I'm good.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what happens. We'll let the family know that we've made contact and there's no concerns for their welfare. And that they are happy where they are, and we won't disclose those locations.
Okay, sure. Yep. Privacy.
Mm.
Now, underage, then it's urgent, isn't it?
We're looking at kids under the age of 12, 14 or 12. Absolutely, there's some high risks there that we would want them home. Some of our residential houses will probably... look at sometimes 24 hours, some maybe 8 hours, depending on what risky behaviour some of these children are involved with. Obviously, that their concerns are obviously some of the can be company they keep or, some drugs or alcohol habits that they've picked up. Absolutely. It there's no one-size-fits-all. It'll be... determined on the character of the person and their behaviours.
Now, we mentioned the campaign, the theme for this year, Always Searching. Steve, I'll probably bring in this conversation. Always Searching, that's the theme. We've got a list here, or a couple people, local missing persons. Are you happy to share that information with us?
Yeah, sure. I was discussing this matter with the boss here this morning. Alison Bernard was 23 when she disappeared, originally from Kaunyama. Last located seen at Archer River in Cape York on the 10th of February 2013. Police had serious concerns about her safety.
Okay.
It is also believed that Alison was making her way back to Kawanyama from Archer River, but did not return as expected. An intensive land and aerial search has failed to locate Allison. So this matter,
yes,
like I said,
2013, what's that, about seven, that's 11 years ago.
Correct, and I was talking to the boss about this morning. That matter is still being investigated.
Yeah,
to this very day. So
always searching.
Always searching.
Yep. Here's the campaign theme.
So
all right.
It's very hard. Like I've seen the matters that was dealt here this year in court about the families that attended that hearing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, she'll be 34 years old now.
Well, yeah, that's right, and has got children.
Okay.
So, like, they're always, you know, they'll never be laid to rest until he or she's been located. Exactly. And like I was telling Glenn this morning about, I watched a report on 7:30 the other night about over in Western Australia, two family members from the same community. There's only 10 houses in that community and they've gone missing for over a year. So, and I feel sorry for that family.
Exactly.
And
well, the whole community.
Correct.
They know these two people. Yep. They would.
Only 10 houses in the community.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So, yeah.
You got another one there as well.
Yep. Frederick Bamboo, a resident of Mossman in North Queensland, was last seen on Palm Island. He attended a funeral in June of 1995.
Yeah.
Since then, he has not been located in contact with associates of any family members. He has not been located despite extensive inquiries. If alive, Frederick would be 75 years of age today. Yeah. So,
gotcha. Yeah, thank you.
So, Glenn, you know, all aspects of missing persons, where they look at their phone accounts, their bank accounts, all that's taking in part of the investigation. So,
people like that, missing people, they go in your system, don't they?
Correct.
So if you used to pull over someone for, you know, you drink driving or, you know, they're speeding a bit, what have you, and they give the name, you know, in respect to the family, Frederick Bamboo is my name, is my driver's license, so to speak, whatever.
Yeah, so if it was...
I've got no driver's license, but my name Frederick Bamboo, then you would have his name in the system as a missing person.
All missing persons are flagged on our system.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah,
yep.
So if...
My
if,
question.
If they were to pop up and, you know, just with a routine check, yeah, that's fine. We'll just have a chat to them. Let them know that they've been nominated as a missing person. You know, some people don't.
And then that person will explain to you.
They'll explain to their scenarios. They may not know that they're a missing person.
Okay.
If you do know you're a missing person, the quickest way to get yourself off the list is just to pop into a police station and let them know.
Hey, I'm good.
I'm fine.
Yep, thank you, but I don't want to be located. Yeah, sure, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
And look, Alison and... Frederick, there are only two on that list that we've picked off this morning. And they're locally to this area. If people want to have a look at the whole list of the missing persons, they can get onto the AFP website. Just type in the missing person or missing persons week. And look, there, everyone's...
That becomes a federal case, does it?
Yeah, look, absolutely. They're looked...
So they could be anywhere in the country.
Could be anywhere in the country. Mm. And that site's got everyone's story. It's got a... if there's a photo available, it's got a photo of that person. Look, it's worth having a look. You may know some of these people living in your area. And it's just nice to at least give that family a little bit of...
closure.
Well, not so much closure, more so... gratitude to know that person's still alive.
Sure.
You know,
okay,
they may not want to be located, but they're still alive and they're doing
probably
okay.
There's a, here we are talking about National Missing Person Week. So to people out there, if you want to get away from it all, well, take off, but go to a police station.
Let them know.
Let them know.
Yeah.
Then continue with your life.
Exactly, yeah.
You know?
And we've always got to remember, some of these missing people, there's health issues that, you know, dementia, there's... all sorts of other health issues that may cause them to go missing. And, you know, it's not something that's sort of isolated to any gender, age or educational background. It's anyone can be a missing person.
Mm.
But adults are more likely to be listed as long-term missing persons at this point rather than children. Even though I see there 54% of missing persons relate to those between the ages of 13 and 17. So
yeah,
we've just got slightly more children going missing, but it's the adults that are more concerning that end up that long-term missing person that we're looking for.
Now you say 99% of people do get found.
Mm.
So we're talking children as well?
Yeah, absolutely.
We don't, look, we have a high percentage of children being missing, but being found is still up there as well, high percentage being found, yes.
That's correct.
Okay, well, that's good to know, yeah.
Yeah, and look, that's one of our checks that our supervisors at Edmonton would do almost daily. They'll be checking who's missing in the division and, you know, whether they're just a low risk or medium or high risk. And,
yes.
And then that they will, you know, task the crews accordingly. So if someone's low risk, this is someone that we're not really that worried about. We know that this may not be out of character and this is quite normal behaviour. Look, we probably give it a little while before we start making inquiries. But certainly, like, you know, if there's a 12-year-old child that's out of character, hasn't returned home from school, they're high risk and we want to have all our crews looking for that person immediately.
Exactly. Senior Sergeant Glenn DeLoe, we are in the information age. We are in technology. I'd find it hard for someone to go missing. Well, if we're talking phones, that in a sense. But if we're talking finance, they've got to be, you know, on the unemployment roll to receive money. Or if they're moving in, living somewhere, paying rent.
Yeah, and look, that's some of the things that Steve mentioned is the checks that we will make will definitely be on bank accounts. Employment, social media, you know, we will look where their phone has actually been. It's when all of those go cold and we don't actually, you know, no one's touched a bank account.
You've got a serious case here.
Yep, they've missed family appointments, you know, significant events. That's when we start to raise our concerns. So, look, after 1 year, if they're still missing, that's when we prepare a report for the coroner. And, you know, and then it's over into their hands, whether they look at inquests into their death and into their, whether they are dead or
still missing. Correct, yeah. Okay. So very important. So 28th of July, 3rd of August is National Missing Person Week. But in actual fact, it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, isn't it? In regard to the search, always searching,
always
isn't
searching,
it?
Always searching, yep.
Yeah, like the bottom, like the boss said, you know, this information to may assist police to locate these people, missing people. Please call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000.
Once again, 1-800-333-000.
Correct.
That's the number. All right, beautiful. Gentlemen, thank you for bringing shedding light on this very important conversation. To all our mob up there, look, stay strong, keep communication with the police. And if you're thinking that way inclined, then, yeah, notify the police, then go on your merry way.
Correct.
That's the best advice we could think of so we don't have missing persons. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Cool. Have a good day, and we'll talk soon, eh?
Thanks, sir.
All right, beautiful. Bye. A deadly yarn with the boys in blue from Edmonton Police. Big shout out to the Edmonton Police team, Senior Sergeant Glenn DeLoy and Police Liaison Officer Stephen Brandt. Great to have those guys in, come in once a week, and we talk about all different topics. And the topic this week, National Missing Person Week, and the number again is 1-800-333-000. If you've got any dramas going on, make that phone call. There's Police Link as well, 131-444. And if it's an emergency, 000. There it is. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, National Talk Black. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, one-hour program live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns and Yidinji country, BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. To Deadly, National Talk Black.
It's easier than saying it's complicated, and I hear you loud and clear when you say I'm overreacting, just sick of you asking me over and over, then tell me it's over when I say it's complicated, when I don't. Just me.
Maybe you lost your mind, you've lost your sanity, 'cause you're way too young and way too young to be saying you need my love, and you just need some therapy. Honestly, you just need some therapy.
Hi, I'm Joe Madden, Director of Child and Family in Far North Queensland. My department is responsible for the child protection system here in Far North Queensland. We work to support parents and protect children when there is evidence of abuse and neglect. Children and young people who can't live safely at home rely on other families coming forward to open their hearts and their homes to care for them. Fostering kinship care is the heart and soul of our child protection system. My hope today is to provide a better understanding of the critical need for more members of the community to consider becoming foster or kinship carers. In 2022-23 year, there was an average of 600 approved carer families in Far North Queensland, which is fantastic. However, we really need more. In the same year, around 1,300 children were living away from home in the region. In other words, they weren't able to live with their families. Most of these were First Nations children. Of these First Nations children, 70% were in home-based care, such as foster or kinship care. However, this means 30%, or around 300 children, were not in foster or kinship care. They were in residential care or other care arrangements. For some young people, residential care is the right place for them because of their individual circumstances. This can include complex needs such as disabilities, and they get great care and support. But what we know is there are far too many very young First Nations children in residential care, and this is not what we want to see. We believe they should be living safely with foster and kinship care families in the community. And we believe this would give these little ones a better chance to thrive, learn and grow up strong in culture and life skills. So today we're asking members of the community to not wait to be asked. We would love for you to put your hand up because there are little ones who need you to come forward today. If you can help, please express an interest to us or to the local foster and kinship care agency in becoming a carer. Once you come forward, you will then receive information on the process, what's needed, and the allowances and the support that you'll receive. We know this might seem daunting to begin with, but we can assure you that agencies are there to train and support foster and kinship carers so they're not alone in doing this important job. Today, we have representatives from our culturally appropriate foster and kinship care service at Wootshopperin. Child Safety funds the organisation to recruit, train and support First Nations foster and kinship carers in Far North Queensland. Karen is able to talk more about the work they do and the support that's available for foster and kinship carers.
Here is an important message from Wootshopperin.
Hi, I'm Karen Salam. I manage the Foster and Kinship Care Service of Wootshopperin Health Service. Are you passionate about making a difference in an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander child's life? Across North Queensland, there is an urgent need for more kinship, foster and relief carers for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. Every day, children are being removed from their homes due to harm, neglect or family crisis. What is Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service? Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service provides support to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander carers, opening their lives and homes to children in times of need. Our placement support workers work with the community to identify safe, caring and loving homes for long or short periods of time that will also provide strong family and cultural connections. Why be a kinship, foster or relief carer? By becoming a Wootshopperin kinship, foster or relief carer, you will help keep Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children and young people safe during a challenging time in their lives. As a priority, and through your guidance, support and care, you will help our kids stay with or continue to be connected to their family, culture and community and reach their full potential. Being a carer is highly rewarding and makes an enormous difference to the lives of our young people. Carers are also celebrated and acknowledged for their dedication at events like the Fostering Kinship Carers Week. We are here to guide you. Wootshopperin's placement support staff works with carers every step of the way to support them on their journey. Carers will also have access to support and become equipped with new skills and knowledge to help provide care for our children. Additionally, carers receive support and training, our staff are on call, and there is a carer allowance which you can access. If you decide to become a carer, you will have a team of Aboriginal and or Torres Strait Islander workers to help you with any issues and provide strength in times of need. They will be there to celebrate the wins with you and help you move through the challenging times together. What's the next step? Our dedicated team will take you through every part of the process in becoming a carer. So if you are interested and ready to make a difference for our children, call Wuchopperin on 40801080 to learn more.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, CBM 98.7.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live on First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM, Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have you saying yarn up strong, you mob, too deadly. All right, the National Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Children's Day is coming up, 4th of August, almost here. And this year's theme, Strong in Culture, Strong Together. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Deadly Sister Michelle Forster, Triple P Cultural Consultant, Triple P Positive Parenting Program. And we have Michelle online. Good morning, sister. How are you?
Good
I'm good there, Trevor. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, sis, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Yeah, I'm Michelle Forster, and my mob's Kunya Kuma from southwest Queensland, out Cunnamulla Way, all the Hoopers and Johnsons, shout out.
Yes, big shout out, family, yes. And so, and where are you based at the moment, sister?
I'm living on the Sunshine Coast, the beautiful Sunshine Coast, the Kabi Kabi people country here.
Good. Fantastic. And you're a consultant with Triple P, the Positive Parenting Program. How long have you been there? And tell us about your program, please.
Yeah, so I'm the cultural consultant. I've been working with Triple P for about 14 years, but at Triple P International for nearly 10 years now.
Okay.
Yeah, and so Positive Parenting Program, Triple P. So we have a whole range of programs starting from babies through children up to 12 years, teen. And then we have a whole different range of programs around fearless, the parents of children that are fearful or have anxiety, family transitions, the parents that are going through separation. We also have our Deadly Indigenous Triple P program as well. But what our program does is it really supports parents to bring up children healthy and happy socially, emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually.
Yes.
Culturally. But it just helps build confidence and resilience in our kids. And what it did for me, Trevor, was really helped me enjoy being a parent. I come from a mother who was institutionalized as a child, so she didn't have too much to draw from, and I took what she had as a parent.
Yes, yes.
And so coming into parenting, it was quite tricky for me having three sons. But when I met the program, took on so many different skills and just really started to enjoy being a parent.
Yeah, good. Well, when you look at parenting, parenting itself is hard. But when we're talking about First Nation people and what we're up against in regards to life and the economy and what have you, it's good to have that supporting arm there.
Yeah, for sure. So I was just thinking, if we think about this year's theme, for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Children's Day, and the theme is Strong in Culture, Strong Together, I think of things like it takes a village to raise a child.
Yes, yes.
So, yeah, just even thinking about who's raising our children in community.
Mm.
We think about our parents and our carers, our uncles, aunties, older siblings, but even teachers and sporting coaches and, you know, the list goes on. So if we just think about that, and then what we do at Triple P is that we train practitioners, so we train local people in the program to support our children and the next generation to thrive.
And so, I'm just saying, so you would be at the table with their First Nation health organisations as well?
Yep, right across Australia.
Yeah, beautiful.
Wuchopperin up there in Cairns.
Wuchopperin in Cairns, yes, that's right. Yes,
there's
yes, yes.
Practitioners out there at Yarrabah. Cool.
Okay. And so you train up the practitioners, is that right?
Yeah, so we train local people in the program to support, you know, the next generation. How that works for each community, because we know all or most of our communities are different.
Yes.
That the approach, it's really flexible to be adapted to suit the needs of the local community, so it draws on the strengths and knowledge of communities and families and parents. And what's important to that community, family or parent or carer, and what their views are, their values, their beliefs, their ways of being. So we don't assume to be the expert in that space.
No, that's
the
right.
The parents are, the communities are. So it's really supportive of that self-determination. You know, we know our parents know their kids best.
Well, exactly. And when we're talking parenting, sad situation, and sometimes we've got some broken up families. So, of course, we're talking single parents as well, aren't we?
So all parents. So it's not just for anyone in particular, Triple P, it's for everyone.
Beautiful.
So it's not just about children that have behavioural problems.
Okay.
It's about building deadly connections with our kids too.
Mm.
You know, and helping our kids to really develop into really healthy adults.
And a strong foundation that you help building.
Yeah, that's right. And I think you've got the CSAs there, the community service announcements that we developed.
Yes.
In time for this year's Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Children's Day theme, Strong in Culture and Strong Together.
Yes.
And those CSAs were developed just to give parents and community some really practical, easy tips on how we can positively connect with our children and show them that we care and develop those really good relationships. This one's around, spending quality time with our children, a particular good way that we can do that. And one way they say is when our children come to us.
Yes.
You know, sometimes we might be a bit busy, and a big problem nowadays is our phones.
Yeah, yeah.
Our parents
being
on phones, and our kids come to us and we're a little bit busy on our phones, and we're probably sending that message that we're not interested. Go and show your brother, and they might come and say, oh, Mum, come look at this. And we might say, oh, go outside, show your brother, or, you know, or go tell your father or something like that, rather than just stopping in that moment and engaging with our children and seeing what it is they want.
Yes.
Spending that quality time, and then we're sending the message to our children that we're there, we're available, we're interested, you know, you're deadly. What's going on? And
what's
as children
on?
Grow,
exactly. Yes.
Obviously we can't stop all the time, but if we're stopping most of the time and paying attention to our children, we're sending that message that we're there. Mm. As they grow, they know they can come to us and talk to us.
Beautiful, fantastic. Well, it takes a community to raise a child, so very important. Thank you very much for sharing, and all the best to you and your team. Stay warm, Michelle, and we'll talk soon, sister.
Yeah, Trevor, just one more thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
If anyone does want any support,
please.
They can go into a local health centre with Chopperin.
Yes.
There's some practitioners in Yarrabah. Aster Kids also has some practitioners there.
Yes.
Up there in Cairns. But the other thing they can do is jump online. You can go to PPP-parenting.net.au and there's some online programs there for free to get some easy-to-follow tips.
Oh, too positive, too deadly, proper deadly. Thank you very much, my sister. All the best. You take care, Michelle. We'll talk soon.
Yes. Thanks, brother. Bye.
See you down. Bye-bye. Beautiful yarn there, Michelle Foster, PPP Cultural Consultant, and we're talking about the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Children's Day, 4th of August, so it's almost here, and this year's theme, Strong in Culture, Strong Together. So do check out your local health organisation, First Nation Health Organisation, in regard to support with parenting, PPP, Positive Parenting Program. Sounds very positive, uplifting, doesn't it? Have you saying yarn up strong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. Yarn with the bully on here, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry, live here at First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumper Bip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS. National Talk Black, too deadly.
Nyanda banapi bamanda, nyanda bakatyanda bamanda. We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416, 98.7 FM, BBM.